So we have other data that speaks also to, let's say, broader context. We have data, for example, showing that quite a substantial proportion of individuals, like 4 in 10, actually take for granted that the food sold is safe. So I think that's part of the reason where it comes from, because it's still quite an important topic in people's mind.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Science on the Menu. My name is Ed Bray and I work in the communications team at EFSA. And joining me today is Joanna Lorenko. Thank you very much for joining us. Joanna, how are you today?
Very well, thank you for having me.
So today we're going to be talking about food choices and the things that people think about when it comes to food, purchasing food, what are their concerns, etc. We're also going to look at social science. You're a social scientist, you're going to explain what that means in terms of a regulatory agency like EFSA. And I think you've got a surprise for me as well in the form of a quiz, is that right?
Yes, that's right. We'll get into it further ahead, I think.
Okay, perfect. So let's start with the research that we've recently done on that. Eurobarometer, tell me about that, Shana. What is it exactly? Why do we do this?
The Eurobarometer is a large-scale survey. We ran it in the 27 member states, and it's run in the national languages. So in 2025, we had a sample of over 26,000 respondents. And it's one survey that we ran face-to-face, which is often considered the golden standards for surveys. Now, because we have such a large sample and also because of the methodology, it gives us really high confidence in the results.
So tell us, what are some of the like top level conclusions about when it comes to food, what people are thinking about?
We have data on different aspects. So if I think of data that we have on things that people care the most when they make their food purchases decisions, here we really have costs coming at the top, okay, with 6 in 10 considering it important. In fact, it went up relative to 2022 when we did the last survey, 6 percentage points. Perhaps not surprising, because we have also data from other Eurobarometers showing that inflation, cost of living are quite important to people in Europe. Then we have taste and food safety. So those come second and third, like closely. About half of people care about this. And then finally, we have food origin and nutrient content. So those are, let's say, the top aspects influencing consumers' decisions when they go to the supermarket and make their purchases.
Okay. I think that makes sense, that when it comes down to it, money is important and we're all looking to make savings, etc. So that's interesting. Food safety came in third. What can we draw from that?
So we have other data that speaks also to, let's say, broader context. We have data, for example, showing that quite a substantial proportion of individuals, like 4 in 10, actually take for granted that the food sold is safe. So I think that's part of the reason where it comes from, because it's still quite an important topic in people's mind, but it's also one where we see like high confidence in the system.
And talking about food safety concerns, can you tell us more specifically what are people thinking about when it comes to those?
So at the top, in terms of food concern, we had pesticide residues in food. That was already the case in 2022, in fact. So 4 in 10 are concerned about it. And that is then closely followed by antibiotics, hormone, and steroid residues in meat, and then food additives. Now, interestingly, there weren't a lot of changes relative to 2022 in terms of the main concerns, but there was an exception, which is microplastics in food. We saw that one third was concerned about that topic. That's an increase relative to 2022. And here is one where it's also interesting for us to consider more country-level data. So in 2022, it was the top concern only in one country. That was the Netherlands.
Okay.
And if you fast forward to 2025, it's actually the top concern in 5 additional countries. And in fact, we are now doing additional research on the topic to try and understand what may be driving higher concern or not with the topic, looking at things such as value, people's risk judgments, personal experience, social norms, and so forth.
Okay, that makes sense also given the public perception about environmental sustainability, plastic, a lot of, you know, articles in the media. So we can see that reflected also in what we see, you know, around us.
Exactly. And in fact, part of this research that I mentioned, that those are aspects that we will tackle on. No? So we are measuring proxies, for example, the way people may feel close or not to the environment, how that may influence their decisions. In-house, we also monitor social media discourse. So because we'll do this research in multiple countries, we'll also complement it with the analysis of social media discourse around these topics.
We talked about a possible quiz that you might have. You have some questions, is that right?
Yes, I'd be very happy to turn the tables now. Okay, so first question for you. As we talked at the beginning, food safety comes third in terms of what matters for people when they make their food purchase decisions. There were a couple of countries in Europe where it came first. And I would like your guess on what these countries may be.
Okay, so full disclosure, I do not know the answer to this straight off. It's full not like we prepared this
I believe
in advance.
You, yeah.
So you're saying that food safety came top. So my guess is that it would be a country maybe with a higher GDP where people are thinking about this. Maybe, you know, cost is not superseding. This is really a guess. So I'm going to go with Austria and I'm going to go with Sweden.
Okay. Both of those are incorrect, I like that you verbalize your reasoning. Okay. So in fact, and this may surprise you, the top two countries are Italy and Romania.
Okay.
And in fact, Italy, it's a tie because we see equal level of importance of food origin and food safety. And it's one, and this is the nice aspect of we collecting this data every so often, is actually a pattern that has remained stable. So it was already the case in 2022.
Right, that makes sense. I mean, living in Italy, food is obviously of utmost importance to people and food origin being also very important. But that's interesting about food safety. Okay, so I'm zero from one so far.
Okay, you have another chance. So question two. So I'm going to remind you of what the top three concerns in the EU were, and I want you to tell me which one was not shared by those in candidate countries.
Okay.
So here we go. Pesticide residues in food.
Right.
Antibiotic hormones and steroids residues in meat.
Okay.
And food additives. Which one do you think was not at the top in candidate countries?
Okay. Yeah, pesticide residues sounds like an important concern for many people. I think I'm going to keep that one in. Of the other two, I also think food additives is high on the list. I'm going to go with the antibiotic
residues.
Done. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct. Any guesses on what might have been at the top instead?
As a food safety concern?
Yeah.
In those places? Oh, some kind of contaminant? The contaminants?
Yeah, so it was food poisoning coming from food and drinks, which, to be fair, is also up there in the top five in the EU, but for candidate countries was even higher.
Okay.
But great. Okay. Well done, Ed. Okay, so final one. So in 2022, TV was the top information source that people used overall for information on food safety. Now, in 2025, which of these three statements do you think is correct? Mm-hmm. TV remained at the top and it increased in popularity. TV remained at the top but decreased in popularity. Or TV was overtaken by social networks as the top information source.
I think TV is still important. So people underestimate actually the importance of TV when they talk about, you know, the rise of social media, etc. I think that social media is rising. I think that's clear. More and more people are getting their information from there. I'm going to say that TV is still top, but it's going down as a proportion and social media is going up.
Okay, so your instinct is perfectly correct.
Okay.
Indeed, we saw a decrease of 6 percentage points for TV in 2025, but we still have more than half of Europeans relying on it. Social networks and blogs went up slightly. And here is one that perhaps unsurprisingly, we see big age-related effects. So we see that people from younger ages, so those that are age up to 25 years old, tend to rely more on online sources of information,
right,
be it internet or social networks or blogs.
makes sense to me. Okay, so 2 out of 3, not too bad.
I think you did pretty well considering these were random questions that you didn't look up. Okay, so off to you.
Okay, so look, we love props on this podcast, and I've got one. Mm. We've talked about this a little bit already, but this came up. So this, well, what is this, Joanna?
So Ed has in his hand a note of 20 euros.
Yeah.
So I take it that's sort of like a prompt for you to refer to costs.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to even pass this to you now in a friendly gesture, but I hope I get it back. So tell me more about costs.
So we touched on this a little bit. So it is the top aspect that people consider in their food choices. I think another interesting dimension here is that in 2022, it was at the top in 14 countries. In 2025, it's at the top actually in 20 countries.
Right.
So we really see it's a generalized increase. So that's, I think, an important aspect. And again, perhaps not surprising if we think of rising costs of food and as well as other costs of living, right? Now, maybe to expand a little bit more on the topic, we don't have data, for example, on people's ability to afford food and so forth. But in the Eurobarometer, we have a question on people's income. And because it's such a large survey, we actually get to look in and analyze that data by subgroups. So one of the things we observe is that, for example, people that have more financial difficulties are less likely to have heard of most of the food safety topics covered by the survey, which could, for example, put them at in a position of higher vulnerability. So I think it's quite an important dimension, and I will return the prompt to you.
Let's broaden out. I'm curious to hear more about social science and what you do as a social scientist. You talked a bit before about communication, how that can lead into how we communicate, who we communicate to, important information that we get. Tell me, if you talked about your role as a social scientist, what gets you motivated? What gets you interested? What are the things you like to do?
Okay, so let's say I have been working on mainstreaming and scaling up the use of behavioral and social science in policy contexts for more than 10 years at EU level or in an international context, working on development policy. And that's something I'm really keen on. The other aspect that really interests me is the diversity of the work. So we have been talking about the Eurobarometer, which is a survey. But in other cases, I get to lead work where we do, for example, online experiments or qualitative work. So essentially, it all depends on what is the problem you're trying to tackle. And we also get to work across very different topics and also with different focuses. So we have been talking a lot about consumers, but for example, we recently did research with farmers for sheep and goats to understand what are reasons that may act as barriers for their adoption of biosecurity measures. Mm-hmm. And we're about to launch a second phase of this study in multiple countries to measure farmers' risk judgment and preferences so that then we can put in place strategies that are more effective.
Okay, that's interesting. I think if I'm right, there's a growing trend towards having more social scientists at international organizations and within policymaking. We've seen that at EFSA. Your team that you're working with has been growing, right, over time. Is that a correct, you know, analysis of the situation, and why do you think that is?
I think that's correct. And in fact, we actually collaborate with colleagues in social science teams located in different international organizations or food safety agencies in, for example, Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, US, UK, Canada, etc. Also, obviously, within Europe. We work across organizations. So I think really a nice aspect of the work that we do, particularly at EFSA, is that, for example, we get to test things that can then be directly like taken forward to the way we do our risk communications. And I think if we think of risks associated with food, there is the risk of the food itself, no, like the ingredients, the risk of what may have been done to food, like during the manufacturing. And then there is the risk linked to what people do with food, you know, because people are an important dimension of this context. So We often say that food safety is a shared responsibility because it is the case. How people may prepare food, food hygiene, it's actually a very important aspect. And I think there is more and more recognition of this aspect and how social sciences can play a role. We know that people, in terms of how they perceive risks, can be affected, for example, by different cognitive biases. So it's not often the case that the way they perceive the risk is the way the risk that the actual issue poses, right?
Right.
So it's important for you to understand this, and social science can bring you this sort of insights, so that then you can communicate in a more targeted and effective way.
Right. In an ideal world, or semi-ideal world, what are the kind of things that you would really like to work on?
So I'm particularly interested in research that sort of has either a methodological component or research that allows us to work with certain, what we call certain kinds of populations. Like I mentioned farmers before, because I think they are really important, I'd say, pieces of the puzzle. And I would say that, for example, we did recently a piece of research where we looked at the impact of food safety incident linked to chocolate products, which happened in several EU countries. And then we asked questions on, okay, are people actually likely to change their behavior? Do they follow authorities' advice and so forth? And to do this this evaluation, we actually used data from infections, data from social media, and data from the Eurobarometer. So for me, this dimension is quite interesting, the fact that I get to work in a very applied context, and also this triangulation and combination of sources, because it also means that I get to work with people with very different expertises. So we did this in collaboration, for example, with colleagues in our working group, so advisory group for social sciences. And using the Eurobarometer data, we have, for example, data on people's, on the extent to which they may change their behavior in response to an incident involving salmonella. And we found some interesting results, like the fact that people that have higher trust in national authorities are more responsive to food recalls, and they also tend to be more prone to follow advice.
That's so interesting. You must become an expert on human behavior and our psychologies and what we do.
Well, the nice thing is that that knowledge can always evolve, right. so never gets boring.
Thanks so much, Sharana. I think we can finish there. It was really interesting talking to you. So thank you very much. Thank you to our listeners. Please subscribe to our podcast if you didn't already. Like it, share it, and engage with our content on social media channels. That's it for now. So thank you, Sharana. It's goodbye from us, and see you again soon on Science on the Menu. Goodbye.